Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10. And when he being Jesus, and when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And the young man was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And the young man was sad. That's what Jesus said. He was sad. And he went away grieving. I want us to talk about that a little bit this morning. I think, personally, there are some very important lessons for you and me in these six short verses. In verse 17, we find a man asking Jesus an interesting question. "What," he asked Christ, "must I do in order to live forever?" Amen? What should I do in order to live forever? Have you ever thought about living forever?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, notice here, the man didn't ask Jesus about what he must do to avoid dying, but what he must do in order to live forever. Amen? The Lord already knew this man's problem, just as he knows your problems and my problems. The young man's mistake was the common human mistake. You see, beloved, the truth is this: our bodies age and they're going to die. That's simple. All you got to look at me and say, "Man, he's already dead." But that's fact. It's appointed, the Bible says. It's appointed unto man what? Once to die, and after death the judgment. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Well, we can do absolutely nothing to inherit eternal life. Nothing. You're helpless and hopeless. Sorry. I came to hear good news, preacher. Well, I'm just telling you. The truth. The Lord makes this very clear when he delivers this fact. And I quoted it before, but I'm going to repeat it again. It is appointed to every human being once to die, and then the judgment. I just pondered this, and I came up with this. Some might stand for us inheriting eternal life. You're not going to inherit if you're dead, are you? Are you? Of course not. The argument the unbeliever makes is this, that the Bible also teaches, your very Bible, that you're preaching from, preacher, listen to what the Bible says. Some will be alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
And be caught up with them in the air, they're not going to die.
Right.
But you know why they're not going to die? Because they already have what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Here's a conundrum. Something for us to think about. Something for us to really think about. Remember what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus? He was a rabbi. He was a preacher. He told him in John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18. Let's go there. Let's go in the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says. Third chapter of the Gospel of John. You say, well, we all know that. I wonder if we really do. This is back in Vacation Bible School days, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Beginning with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, which is what this young guy wanted to know, how he could get. How can I get that? Well, here it is. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath murdered somebody. Because he has committed adultery. Because he has cheated on his income tax. Because he hasn't believed on the only begotten Son of God. Because he hadn't believed on Jesus Christ. He hadn't believed the work that Jesus Christ performed for him on the cross, paid for his sin, and confessed his need for this Jesus, and gain eternal life. Isn't that pretty plain? I wonder why so many people struggle with that today. So we discover this fact. You and I can do absolutely nothing about inheriting eternal life. And number two, those who trust in the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, doing it for them, have eternal life. Is that right? That's what it says. It says that right there. In verse 18 of our text now, the Lord asks the man a question. Why, Jesus says, why do you call me good? Why are you addressing me that way? Why are you calling me good? We need to really think about this question today in our churches. Jesus makes it very plain. There can be no mistake in what he's saying now. He told this man and every human being something that they must grasp and understand. Here's what he said. There is none good but God. Now keep that in your mind. There is none good but God. God is good and God alone. If this is truly so, then Jesus is saying this to the man. You call me good. If you think I am good, I must be God. Amen? That's interesting. A very simple statement. If you think I'm good, I must be God. If someone says to you, Preacher Lou is good, it must mean, if we understand what it means, it must mean that a sinner up here preaching to you is good. And if he's good, he's God. And what does that mean? That means that God dwells in him. See, Nicodemus? Oh yeah, earlier Nicodemus had a conversation with Jesus before John 3:16. And this preacher was told something by Jesus. Just like this preacher, who wasn't a preacher at the time, was told something by Jesus. Nicodemus, if you want to see, if you want to even visualize, understand, comprehend what the kingdom of God is all about, let alone enter it, you must be born again. How can I be born again? That which is flesh is flesh. And it's going to die. But that which is spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed. Don't be surprised when I tell you. Don't be shocked when I say, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be born of the spirit, just as you were born in the flesh. That doesn't mean you go down front and say you want to join the church. It doesn't mean that when you're baptized, you're saved. Does it?
No.
It doesn't mean, well, I'm a Baptist. It means I have confessed my sin and see my need and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit has come and dwelt within me and will never leave me nor forsake me according to Jesus Christ. Amen? I wonder how many people who are in the church of our day understand the truth in that. Wow. Here we see the humble carpenter of Nazareth telling the man seeking eternal life there is a distinct possibility that he may be asking his creator himself that question. Is that too far-fetched for you? Of course, Jesus, as the Bible teaches, is God in the flesh, come to seek and to save his lost image. And of course, Jesus reminds the man that he knew at one time, at least, the commandments of God. And here in verse 19, repeats them to him. Notice the man's statement in verse 20. I have observed them since I was a kid. Since Vacation Bible School. I was in verse, and since I was a kid, in my youth, and up until today. Now here's where the rubber hits the road, friends. Observing the commandments of the Lord and keeping them are two completely different things. Amen? You can observe that red light and go through it, can't you? You and I cannot keep the Lord's commandments. Has never been a human being walked on the face of this earth that has kept the Lord's commandments, with one exception. And God became a human being in order to do it for you. You know, I think maybe we get so caught up in the mechanics of it that we forget it's by faith. Yeah. You believe or you don't. It's that simple. It's that simple. You and I cannot keep them. And we need someone to keep them for us. And so Jesus came and died in agony on a cross and was buried for 3 days in a tomb and rose again from the dead and walked out of that tomb for our justification if we believe his word. When Christ spoke the words from the cross, it is finished. He answered the question of the man in our text. I did it for you. Jesus knew where the man was. He knows where you and I are, and he knows how we fall short. Certainly, Jesus Christ loves us, but we also see why so many don't inherit eternal life. You see, we have to take up the cross. Remember what he said? Let's read it again. Anyway, what he said was, take up the cross and follow me. That's the important thing. We have to realize that we need Jesus Christ. That we need the new birth. That eternal life does not begin when you die, but begins when you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. If you are a Christian here this morning, you already possess eternal life. If you're not, you can. it does not begin when you die. Now, taking up the cross isn't easy. Don't you listen to those. I say, when you come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. You're never going to have problems. You're never going to get cancer. And you'll get a job, make a lot of money, and on and on and on and on. That prosperity gospel just doesn't work. Taking up the cross is not easy. Denying oneself does not happen all at once, but with the Holy Spirit's help, with fellowship with other believers, with prayer, and with this Bible as your guide and motivator, each day, each month, each year becomes better and better and better. I promise you that. You know, the fact that God is in complete control of human history and his people's future is certainly comforting. Don't for 1 minute go away grieving like this man did, because Jesus, when he tells you, just as he told this young man this truth, every human being must accept. They cannot inherit eternal life. But Jesus has already done it for them if they will only believe his word. Not what I'm preaching up here. Jesus' word. What the Bible teaches. I want you to turn in your hymnals to a hymn. And I'm going to read it to you. And I just want you to follow along. It's hymn 323, I believe. No, it isn't. It's 394. I'm sorry. Hymn 394. It was written 323 years ago. That's where I got that number. By a man named Thomas Shepherd. 323 years ago, this hymn was written. And I think he must have just read my text before he wrote it. But listen to what it says. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy are the saints above who once went sorrowing here, and now they taste unmingled love and joy without a tear. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear. For there's a crown for me. Upon the crystal pavement down all Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and his dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, when Christ the Lord from heaven comes down and bears my soul away. Don't you leave the service this morning grieving. You don't have to. Just trust Jesus if you haven't, and praise him if you have.